Welcome to the podcast of Fairmount Presbyterian Church in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, where we feature our worship sermons. Listen again to past sermons from home, when you are traveling, or wherever you are. Listen in if you need a moment of reflection, inspiration, and love.
We have a second gospel reading this morning, continuing in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 to 23. These are the Beatitudes. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for the power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God around us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Well, maybe you've heard the rumors that our bus home from the Poor People's Campaign March on Washington was delayed last night. It's true. We didn't arrive home until just a few hours ago. Pulled up in the parking lot here just before 7 this morning. And so, to be honest, as I just read the Beatitudes to you, suddenly this morning I feel like there's a Beatitude missing. Blessed are the tired, for they will receive rest. I want to tell you more about our sojourn to D.C. yesterday, but first I want to talk about these Beatitudes to set us up. Now, when we think of the Beatitudes, when we try to conjure up those verses from Scripture in our memories, for many of us, the verses that come to mind are probably from the Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew's version of the Gospel. But this morning we read from the other Beatitudes, you could say, the lesser known Beatitudes in Luke's Gospel. Now, Luke's version of this sermon is different in several ways, and I want to lift up just two of those differences this morning. First, Matthew's Beatitudes are more spiritual in nature, while Luke's are more material. Matthew's version of the Beatitudes begins, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Whereas the Lucan Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Blessed are the poor, period, Luke says. Matthew says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." But Luke writes, "Blessed are you who are hungry now." Because Luke's gospel centers on justice for the marginalized, he refuses to spiritualize poverty and hunger. Poverty and hunger are real injustices in the world, real things in the lives of real people, and for Luke, Jesus has come to bring good news to those experiencing material poverty. And yesterday in D.C., while there was plenty of spirituality, plenty of songs of praise and amens, our talk about poverty was not spiritual, but material. It was a day for Luke's Beatitudes and not Matthew's. Now, the second difference that I want to lift up between Matthew and Luke is that I want to point out something that is not textual or even theological, but topographical. And what I mean by that is that in Matthew, it is the Sermon on the Mount. And in Luke, it is the Sermon on the Plain. well, mountain or plain, you may wonder, what difference does it make where Jesus preached this message? In Matthew, Jesus' sermon from the mountaintop is meant as a symbol that people are drawing near to God as they ascend the mountain towards heaven to listen to Jesus preach. But in Luke, it says that Jesus came down to them and stood with them on a level place, on a plain. And in the Bible, these so-called level places tend to symbolize the sin and brokenness of the world. And so Jesus, standing on the plain, standing on a level place in the midst of a broken world, proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near to us, that God has come to this broken world to heal it and to reconcile it and to set things right, that sends a different message. And yesterday, I stood on a level place, and I felt God draw near, God coming to set things right. At the corner of Pennsylvania Avenue and 3rd Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., with the U.S. Capitol in the background, I stood on a level place with about 15 other Fairmounters and thousands of other people from around the country. And together we participated in the Poor People's Campaign Assembly and Moral March on Washington. We got to hear from Reverend Dr. William Barber, Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris, Reverend Dr. Cornell West, and many other outstanding preachers. But what was special, it wasn't just these national figures who did all the talking. For the most part, it was ordinary, poor, working people. Representatives from more than 40 states around the country who took the stage one by one and shared a piece of their story with us. And so we stood there on that level place and we listened. We listened to their stories that exposed the sin and brokenness of the world, and we kept our eyes and our ears and our hearts open to the signs of God's presence right there with us. Signs of God coming to set things right. These are some of the stories that we heard. We heard the story of Denise, a woman from Louisiana struggling to rebuild her life after prison. We listened to Aaron, a father from Indiana on the verge of tears as he shared how ashamed he feels that he can't afford basic necessities like diapers and formula for his kids. We stood and listened to Beth from Montana talk about the stigma of growing up poor, and the anger she felt at having to wear hand-me-downs that came from the same girls at school who had made fun of her for being poor. We listened to the stories of Emily from Mississippi, a survivor of sex trafficking who's lived in a homeless shelter for 3 years, of Bernadelle from Michigan who shared her heartbreak about the lasting consequences of the contaminated water in Flint on the low-income kids there, and Alexa, a single mom of three, also caring for her disabled father, who works two low-wage jobs, 64 hours a week, and still can't pay her bills. We stood on that level ground and listened to their pain and their anger and their suffering, to their perseverance and their hope and their humanity. Towards the end of the rally, we began to hear from speakers talking about solutions, talking about the practical actions we can take to lift up the poor and the marginalized, to alleviate suffering and bring healing, wholeness, dignity, and justice. Now, you can go on the Poor People's Campaign website and read all about those policy proposals, and I encourage you to do that. But this morning, instead of talking about the specifics of certain policies, I want to share with you about two of the five core principles that the Poor People's Campaign says that their entire policy platform is built upon. First, they say, we need a moral revolution of values to repair the breach in our society. This language of repairing the breach, language you heard in our confession earlier, also comes from Isaiah 58, which reads, "Is this not the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and you shall be called repairer of the breach." And so I ask this morning, how are we called to be repairers of the breach right here in Cleveland Heights, here in Cleveland, in Cuyahoga County? How will we break the yoke of injustice that weighs down our poor neighbors? And how will we embody a countercultural gospel morality? If we keep listening to Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, he begins to tell us what this moral revolution looks like. Jesus says, "But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Now, this gospel of morality may sound rather passive at first blush, but don't be fooled. This is an active morality. And these verses form the basis of Jesus' ethic of nonviolent resistance that insists on love. This kind of moral revolution is not a passive one. It demands that we speak up and take action when confronted with violence and injustice. One of the phrases that we chanted over and over yesterday in Washington was, "We won't be silent anymore." And for me, one of the speakers yesterday hit home on this message. It was the Reverend Dr. Bernice King, daughter of Martin Luther King Jr. And she invoked the words of her father on this topic of action and silence. It was Dr. King who said, "We will have to repent in this generation not merely for the hateful words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people. Human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts of men who are willing to be co-workers with God. The time is always ripe to do right." Will we, the church, stay silent about systemic poverty? In the words of Dr. King, will we be more cautious than courageous, remaining silent behind the anesthetizing security of our stained glass windows? Or will we speak up and do right? Will we be co-workers with God and our neighbors, working side by side for justice for the poor? The final core principle of the Poor People's Campaign I want to lift up is this: prioritize the leadership of the poor, the low income, and the most impacted. Those who are on the front lines of these crises must also be in the lead in identifying their solutions. To be clear, this is why I went to Washington, D.C. yesterday. I was there to listen. I went to show solidarity by simply listening to poor people tell their stories and share their ideas about what we need to change in our communities. But I've got to tell you that no matter how moving the stories are, standing and listening for 5 hours is a long time. But just when I was starting to get a little tired yesterday, a woman named Latia, a pastor from Kansas, came up to share her message about how she's experienced poverty because she can't keep up with her health care bills. And as she began talking, it took me a minute to notice, but then the stole that she was wearing caught my eye. a white stole with blue lettering that read, "If you've come here to help me, then you are listening. If you've come here to help me, then you are listening." It was the reminder I needed of why God had called me to Washington, D.C., to that level place. We've become so conditioned to thinking that helping the poor is giving them something. But by the power of the Spirit working through Pastor Latia, I heard God say to help the poor is to receive something from them too. To receive their stories and their leadership. To help the poor is to listen to them. And in case I hadn't heard that message, hadn't received it deep enough in my spirit, God gave me one more beautiful moment yesterday to hear it. A woman named Maya had just stepped up to the microphone to share her story when the MC, Reverend Barber, interrupted her to address the crowd. He apologized to Maya for interrupting her and just said, "I just need to talk with all of you out there, the thousands of people gathered, for a moment and tell you to be quiet and listen. Stop talking and listen to what she has to say. Because if we can't listen to Maya here and now, then we're treating her like the rest of the world does all the time, ignoring her, dismissing her story, denying her full humanity." And I said, "I hear you, God. If we want to help the poor, if we want to serve the poor, if we want to love the poor, then it begins with listening to them. We need to learn their names, their stories, their dreams, to hear their struggles and their suffering too. Because I believe that in that deep listening, we will be transformed. It will change our hearts and our lives, and in that transformation, we will find our salvation." I'm not quite sure how to end my message this morning, to be honest. I'd hoped to come with a powerful call to action that I would leave you with, but to be completely honest, I'm still processing my experience yesterday. Still praying for God to reveal exactly how God is calling me to do this work of listening to the poor here in my new home in Cleveland. And so I invite you into that praying with me, into conversation with me about what it looks like for me and you and this congregation to know the poor, to listen to the poor, and to be accountable to the poor, allowing them to lead us to the right solutions to eradicate systemic poverty. So for now, I will just keep listening. Amen.
We thank you for listening to a worship episode from Fairmount Presbyterian Church. Revisit this podcast site weekly for new worship episodes. Have a beautiful and blessed day.